Urban Villa Type by Jonathan Sergison and from 2018. Travelling from the north to the south of Switzerland, from the German to the Italian-speaking parts of the country, one comes across a predominant building type, the urban villa. Often squarish in plan and with a vertical emphasis in facade proportion and a distribution of openings that suggests they are occupied by multiple households, their windows are smaller in size, generally upright in proportion and evenly distributed across elevations. Settlements are relatively compact in terms of the area they occupy, with development concentrating along the road that passes through them and buildings making the necessary concessions to topography. Land is used efficiently. Urban villas generally occupy small, more or less demarcated plots, and the space between them is invariably tight. This results in a particular urban character of uniform buildings and subtly variable spaces between them. A sense of urbanity is established as villas are built at different times in an additive process rather than as the result of a clear urban plan, and yet the result belies an implicit sense of control. This urban pattern and building type are constant in many Swiss cities, Neuchâtel, Lausanne, St. Gallen, Lugano to name a few, and in many neighbourhoods of Zurich. While their geographical circumstances are different in origins, what these different situations have in common is a sloping site. Widening our survey beyond the confines of Switzerland to the rest of Europe, we find that there is no single universal solution. The terraced housing built in Bath, Porto or Bergen, the tenement housings of Glasgow, were all built on naturally sloping sites, but do not adopt the same approach. However, it does make sense to arrange a residential building so that its plan is not deep in relation to the slope of the site, and the squarish plans of the Swiss urban villas do offer a pragmatic solution. The apartment buildings on the slope of Zurichberg were built at a time when the city was emerging as the dominant financial and industrial centre in the country. By the end of the 19th century, Zurich had grown to be the largest city in Switzerland, doubtlessly helped by the building of the federal railway infrastructure and by its favourable position in terms of the movement of people and goods in the wider European context. While there are regional variants of the Swiss urban villas in different cities, it is tempting to speculate on their origins and how they develop typological similarities. In part, the answer lies in the movement of people over the last few hundred years and the influence, whether conscious or subliminal, of Italian architecture. In other words, in order to understand the origins of urban villa, it is necessary to turn to the classical world. While none of the classical Roman examples have survived as complete structures, we can speculate on their character and qualities on the basis of fragments and pictures. The word villa is Latin in origin and refers to a single detached building with land around it. The Romans distinguished villa urbana from villa rustica, depending on whether they were built in cities or in the countryside. We also know that on the hills surrounding Rome, villa colonies emerged, benefiting from the favourable aspect and a certain distance from the centre of the city. These older house types were drawn upon as models in the three 15th century paintings of the ideal city, variously attributed to Pier della Francesca, Luciano Lorana, Francesco di Giorgio Martini, and Melozzo da Forli, and thought to have been commissioned by Federico da Montefeltro, Duke of Urbino, for his palace. The perspective in the paintings is carefully constructed, and in this idealized urban image, a city is made of prominently placed institutional buildings framed by palazzos and urban villas. The idealized image of the classical world they attempt to recreate became a reference, conjuring a vision that would become a model for the European city and the buildings that would constitute it. Generally acknowledged as the first planned urban project, the The construction of Strada Nuova in Geneva creates a one-point perspective that cuts through the dense existing urban fabric and is framed by palazzos very much like those in the paintings, a small but nonetheless significant fragment of the ideal city that achieves the sense of urban decorum represented in that vision. At this point, it is necessary to make a distinction between palazzos and urban villas. Put simply, the distinction relates to scale and to the conventions that apply. The palazzo as a housing type emerged in Renaissance Florence out of a specific urban conditions and was refined over a relatively short period. They were imposing urban residences for socially and financially prominent families, and business activities were conducted on the ground floor. Generally, palazzos had closed outer facades and an inner courtyard that compensates for the depth of the building, bringing light into the middle of the plan. This internal open space helped structure the communal life of the house and its many inhabitants. While the outer walls are closed and defensive, the courtyard is framed by colonnaded walls, and particular attention was applied to the handling of the columns on the corners. It is not surprising that the palazzo has often been taken as a model for institutional buildings, even though it was originally designed as a housing solution. In contrast, the urban villa has a smaller footprint and is less imposing. Unlike the palazzos that were constructed in dense urban situations, the urban villa requires space around it and a degree of distance from its neighbours. Among all the cities in the German-speaking part of Switzerland, the neighbourhoods that were developed in the 19th and early 20th century on the south-facing slopes of Zurichberg and Hoggenberg in Zurich warrant particular attention. Hottingen, Flunten, Hörslanden, Wippingen and Honk. They are not unlike the villa colonies of Rome, commanding views of the centre of the city to the south and west and of Lake Zurich. Uetliberg and on clear days the distant alpine peaks. This makes these neighbourhoods quite different to the areas of the city that grew and expanded on the flatter ground to the northwest of the historic centre, where the perimeter block with an inner courtyard is the dominant typology. The neighbourhoods on Zurichberg and Hoggenberg cannot be understood as Siedlung or settlements in the same way as the more recent suburban areas of Zurich, such as Schwamendingen, Oerlikon, Friesenberg and Albisrieden, amongst others. Here the city was developed to a lower density with more generous plots, repetitive building types and following urban planning guidelines that evoke a sense of egalitarianism and standardization that is very different from the atmosphere of the neighbourhoods where urban villas are prevalent. While urban villas are broadly designed following similar principles, they are rarely identical to one another. At first glance, these neighbourhoods appear to have grown in an unplanned and organic way, with no sense of conformity to a set of urban rules or guiding principles. This reading of their development would, however, be inaccurate. In fact, a somewhat picturesque sensibility is at work, and the appearance of casual arbitrariness is achieved through a carefully constructed process of planning that follows urban composition guidelines. As in the 18th century English idea of the picturesque, this is above all an approach to landscape, and buildings are used to enhance it. The urban development of this area of Zurich began with the construction of roads and pathways, which follow the slope of the ground and contours, taking into account existing structures and respecting general spatial qualities. At certain points, pedestrian paths are introduced as shortcuts, invariably running directly up or down the steepness of the sloping ground. The apartment buildings and urban villas that were constructed here are often the result of small-scale enterprise and the work of speculative developer builders. A number of urban villas display architectural ambition, although the vast majority are modest but thoroughly decent dwellings. Construction drawings from the Zurich City Archives reveal that the approach to building at the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century was rather pragmatic. Outer walls are formed from a masonry core, often combining brick and stone. On the outer surface, the walls are covered in render or, in rare cases, finished in brick or with a stone dressing. The inner load-bearing wall and ceiling surfaces are finished in plaster or fine render. Decorative elements and motifs are used both inside and outside. These buildings are unpretentious but nevertheless dignified. The plans of these urban villas are equally straightforward and pragmatic, though not lacking in quality. Generally, apartments are arranged around a collection of interconnected rooms of various dimensions, sometimes in enfilade. Corridors are avoided wherever possible. The staircase is split into two shorter flights leading up to a landing, which gives access to apartments. The half landings on the subsequent floors also have windows that bring light into the stairwell. Another notable feature of Zurich urban villas are their balconies. These are often constructed from fine cast iron or steel elements, and depending on the orientation, glass elements were sometimes added once the local environmental conditions became better known. The neighbourhoods where urban villas are the predominant housing type have retained their attractiveness. What sets them apart is the character of the buildings, the wealth of detail, and the finely judged relationships between them. What really stands out is the extraordinary care that has been taken in the landscaping. Historical photographs reveal how stark the city was originally, while a visitor's first encounter is now with trees and soft landscaping elements. Today we see that these neighbourhoods as garden cities, despite the fact that the development of what became a recognised urban concept actually preceded their evolution.